happening, everyone? This is Kyle Draper, joined, as always, by our insider for CSNNE.com, A. Sherrod Blakely. What's up, Sherrod?
What's going on, Kyle Draper? It's almost playoff time. Let's go.
Exactly.
Let's
this
go.
Is the Celtics Talk Podcast. And boy, do we have a great show coming up for you. Coming up in just a little bit, we will be joined by the NBA champion himself, Leon Poe.
Oaktown's finest.
Yep, he was a member of that 08 championship team doing some work with the Celtics right now. Leon will join us in a minute. We'll also be joined by Brad Stevens, who sits down with Brian Scalabrine to talk about the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. And do the Celtics really need that? We got that coming up. And Jay Crowder of your Boston Celtics joins the Celtics post-up crew. We got that coming up for you as well. But first, Sherrod, let's get into what's going on with these Celtics right now, my friend. They were in first place. Now they're not in first place. They might be in first place. Just your thoughts on where they are right now.
Roller coaster season. Everyone is in roller coaster mode right now, and that's the way this East is going to play out. When you look at the way the conference is shaking down, it's really broken down into three parts. You've got the top four, which the Boston Celtics are in. Then you've got the lower class, the bottom four, teams like your Sixers and the Nets hanging out there. And then you got this 17 middle class that's all over the map that are going to be among the teams that the Boston Celtics will see in the first round of the playoffs. And again, there's a lot of jockeying at this point. Really, ultimately, it's going to come down to scheduling. Some teams have a much harder road down the stretch. A team like Miami, for example, I think they've got one, just an absolutely brutal finish to the season. When you talk about playing teams like, Cleveland twice. Oh, excuse me, not twice. Cleveland just once, but Washington twice. Toronto, Charlotte
tough.
Is hungry, and really the worst team of the bunch is New York that they're going to play today. Today, and then you play Denver. So really, they play a bunch of teams that they're not going to get in. They're
you don't
not.
Think Miami's
no,
a dude, but
the schedule's too
Miami's
tough.
Miami's one of the top five teams in the Eastern Conference,
and they're going to get that. And they're going to get that head cracked. At the end of the season, teams that are playing for something.
They need Deion Waiters back, Miami. And I never thought I'd say that.
Say it again.
He's a Philly cat, and we stick together.
And he went to San Rick. Do I need to flip the T-shirt around and let you know?
Everything got to be about –
you brought Deion into the conversation, and Deion obviously got his opportunity to do his thing. At the Cubs.
Real quick, Shri, I'm going to give you 25 seconds to explain this to me.
Oh, gosh.
Because we really – this is the Celtics Talk Podcast.
25.
So, Syracuse, right? Great institution. We know that.
Here comes the butt.
But athletically, they haven't been that good. So, why is Syracuse – like, if you were Duke, Carolina, Kansas, something like that, I could see repping so hard, but why are you repping so hard for Syracuse? Because you spent $200,000 to go there? What?
No,
No,
it's because everybody in the media went to Syracuse.
That's
and
why.
There's bias.
Exactly.
The voice of reason coming to you loud and clear.
Seriously, though, dude. I mean,
we're a good school.
Okay.
And we know what we do every year in basketball. We're going to win close to 20 games. We usually get to the tournament. When we don't, we cry and we bitch about it because that's what we do.
And I don't want to turn this into the Syracuse hour.
You just
but
did.
I know, but
you opened the door.
You guys
I was going to walk
even,
away.
You're not even a top 10 program in the country right now, Syracuse basketball, bro.
You're right. Okay. But you're right.
All right, 25 seconds out. Nobody cares.
I went like 40 seconds. I apologize.
Opened the door. And that's the funny thing about this, Drapes. I didn't even have to bring this to the table. You just said, come on
Dude,
in.
You started
have
singing
a
the Syracuse fight song. All right, about the Celtics.
Yes.
That loss against Milwaukee. And they got Milwaukee again, and that last game of the season could mean something. If I'm the Celtics, I don't want to see Milwaukee in the playoffs.
Listen, okay? Milwaukee is playing great basketball now. But when you break down that game that they just lost, Jay Crowder goes 0-for-6 from three-point range. That's not going to happen on most nights. Jaylen Brown minus 21 when he was on the floor. That's not going to happen.
Now, hold on. Now, don't act like Jaylen's LeBron or Durant or something. Jaylen's a rookie. Some nights he's going to have it. Some nights he's not. I mean, you act like he's going to give you consistently 15 points per game and be a plus 10. Some nights he's going to struggle. Other nights he's not.
There's struggling, and then there's playing like crap, which is what he did against Milwaukee, and that's not Jaylen. Jaylen's not going to be that bad on a consistent basis. That's the point I'm making. First, you bring Deion Waiters and Syracuse into the game. Then you bring LeBron James. I'm trying to keep this right down the pipeline, Drace. Focus, Drace, man. This is playoff time, Drace.
No,
what
we
focus on.
We are, you know, because here's what I'm worried about with the Celtics. When they're playing their great, you know, their best, they're really, really good. They could beat anybody. But then we've seen at times, and the whole squad was healthy. That's not, you know, say, oh, they didn't have their starting five. We've seen times when they lose to Denver. They lose to Phoenix. And so Brad Stevens says this, too. When we play well, we're good. If we don't play well, we can get beat by anybody.
But isn't that the same for, oh, I don't know, 29
no,
other teams?
No, Golden State can bring their C game and still beat a lot of teams, big fella.
And the Celtics have brought their B and C game and have won some games that they had no business winning. Look at this. When they beat Washington, that wasn't a great game. They didn't play great against Washington. And Washington is a really good team. When they beat Indiana, they didn't have a great game against them, but they still won. That's every team. You have to bring a certain level of execution to every game. And the Celtics, they have found a way for the most part to do that. But Brad is right. This team does not play their best enough to where you feel comfortable with them going to the playoffs and winning any matchup if they're a little bit off their game.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying, big fella. We agree, you know, that the Celtics, you know, their margin for error is small. With that being said, they went into that game first in the Eastern Conference. Now they're in that virtual tie or whatever with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs have the tiebreak. Do you think the number one seed is important to the Celtics? I think it is, not in terms of playoff success, because I think, you know, one or two, still got Cleveland coming out of the East. But I think psychologically, dude, that number one is important.
It's a mental edge. I mean, it's something that I think they need to feel mentally that they're the best team record-wise going to the playoffs. Because if they don't get that number two spot, and you look at the teams that Cleveland has to play down the stretch,
right?
Cleveland has a way harder road.
Something went terribly
wrong. I mean, you look at the Celtics. You got Charlotte, who's free-falling. You got Brooklyn, who you own. You know, the Hawks, that's going to be a tough game because the Hawks, you know, Millsap, I anticipate, will be back and ready to play by then.
Hawks always play you tough.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you got, obviously, Cleveland, they're still on the schedule. And then you got a game with the Knicks. I mean, there are enough games in there to where if you go 500 the rest of the way, that should be enough to get you that number one seed, because I just don't think Cleveland is going to play their guys the kind of minutes that they need to play them in order to secure victories. Because, again, I think we both agree on this. Whether Cleveland is 1, 2, 7, 8 seed, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They're going to be an absolute beast in the playoffs. But when they finish the season against Toronto, Miami, Atlanta, twice, they got Atlanta back-to-back. That's their final four.
But Atlanta's been reeling. They won the other night, but they had lost 7 in a row.
They're
going to
have Millsap
like
back by then.
Yeah. But if I'm Cleveland and I'm T. Lou, I have to weigh rest versus chemistry and getting my guys to play the right way, because Cleveland hasn't played that good. Do you want them going into the playoffs not playing well?
Part of the problem is that they've added pieces that on paper seem to make a lot of sense.
Right.
But then when you get them on the floor – Deron Williams was never a great defender. Guess what? He's older. Guess what? He's an even worse defender than he was when he wasn't a great defender. And Korver, I think, is a decent positional defender, but there's a reason why teams tend to go at him a lot in the playoffs, because they know that, yes, you may not always score against him, but you're going to make him work, and by making him work defensively, that's going to take a little bit away from what he does at the other end of the floor. They've got some key pieces that are in the mix that haven't quite – figured out their niche and how to work well chemistry-wise with those other guys. And I just don't think you're going to be able to do that down the stretch, playing those guys together, and still find a way to get LeBron James and Kyrie Love, those guys, the kind of rest that you want them to have for the playoffs. They're vulnerable in that
as
first round.
As in what?
As in they're going to have a harder time getting out of the first round than they should. And when I say a harder time, losing
a couple.
Who
play? Indiana? They're going to sweep Indiana if
Drapes,
they play them.
Listen,
come on, bro.
Drapes. They are not going to sweep their first-round opponent. I'm going to tell you that right now. And here's the thing. Talent-wise, they should. There's not a team in that bottom, that 7 teams that we're talking about, that they shouldn't sweep. I don't think that they're going to have it together as a team to sweep any of those teams.
Well, that's going to – I mean
– and that's going to force them to work a little bit harder than they should. That's my point. They're going to win whatever first-round series. They're just not going to blow through teams the way they should because of the talent.
Back to the Celtics, because you keep going off Syracuse, LeBron, Cavs.
Topics that you brought up.
I know.
But never mind. That fake news, Drapes, I tell you.
In terms of the Celtics, because one of the things we're going to talk to Leon Poe about is the Celtics being hunted. Are they being hunted now? Like, or are they still flying under the radar a little bit?
No, it's unfortunately for them, they're no longer under the radar. Everybody knows who they are. Everybody knows that they play really good defense. Isaiah is having a phenomenal year. Lots of guys stepping up off the bench. Avery Bradley emerging as one of the best two-way players when he's healthy, and that is a big, you know, that's a big concern for them, obviously. But the Celtics, they're not sneaking up on anybody, and that's part of the challenge. I mean, Milwaukee went into that game knowing this is a team that we may have to go through if we want to continue playing well into the playoffs. Miami, this is another team that we even have to go through. Teams are looking at them as a mark of a nice notch under their belt if they can beat the Celtics. And the Celtics, that's something that they're not used to. They're used to being Miami. They're used to being Milwaukee trying to come up on teams. But now they're the team everyone is coming after.
You know what's crazy? Because I'm looking at the standings right now, and there are eight teams. Of the eight teams that would be in the playoffs right now, maybe two don't scare me if I'm the Celtics. Like, if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm looking at it. Cleveland, scary.
Yeah.
Washington, scary. Toronto, scary. Atlanta, right? They play you tough, bro.
They play you
tough.
They play you tough.
Scary. Milwaukee.
Don't sleep on Milwaukee. That scares me.
Yeah, that scares me a little bit. Miami. Some say Miami would be a tough out.
I'm not afraid of Miami either.
Or Indiana. But that's scary to think of, dude.
Well, you know what, though? But that speaks to the parity of the East, though. I mean, really, if you take the Celtics from your list and you put any of those other teams
in,
it would pretty much be the same ratio. There would be maybe one or two teams that you know, they don't scare. But that, to me, that's why the Celtics, it's so important that they're going to the postseason playing in rhythm, that they've got good chemistry, and that they've got good health. If they've got those three things going for them, they're going to be okay. And the one thing that's emerging lately, and I hear more and more guys talk about this unsolicited, is Al Horford.
Yeah.
And just how, we're seeing what he's doing on the floor, but behind the scenes, in the huddles, in the game, Al is being more boisterous. He's making his presence felt. And, you know, Al, he's one of those guys. He doesn't say a lot, but it's like E.F. Hutton. When he speaks, everyone listens.
But, you know, Isaiah, I think, is going to give what he can give in the playoffs. Avery is going to be key, and I think Al Horford is going to be key. Al Horford hasn't played well in the playoffs here recently, last couple of years, especially last year with Atlanta. They need fill the stat sheet Al Horford in the playoffs. I'm not talking 25 points, Shirai, but I need 6-7 assists from Al, 8 rebounds, 14 points from Al.
I think Al is better equipped to do that this year than he was in Atlanta, because you look at the guys around here in Boston – they're looking for somebody to get them to rock in spots where they can make shots. Atlanta, you know, you had that Jeff Teague, Dennis Schroeder kind of, you know, dynamic that really I thought was a lot of end bickering going on there. And the fact that they moved Jeff Teague the first chance they got, they kind of saw it too there. Bazemore had a phenomenal series, but that Bazemore, he played way above his skill level in the playoffs. I think Al understands that he's going to draw so much attention because of the fact that he can score on a block, because he can do a lot of things. But he's smart enough to find guys cutting to the basket. Jay Crowder has benefited greatly from having him. Amir Johnson, you know, he usually gets a couple buckets every night off of, you know, passes from Al. You know, and Isaiah Thomas has, I think, a little bit more freedom. Teams are much more conscious of Al on the floor, and that's something that, again, I think he's going to make everyone around him better. And that's really what Al, I think, his greatest strength is, his ability to make the guys around him better and get them what they need in order to feel good about themselves and help this team win.
Yeah, Al is definitely a playmaker on this team. Maybe not a scorer, like we said, but in terms of making plays, Al Horford, you know, I think they're going to have to ride him as a playmaker, because sometimes you need Isaiah off the ball. You can't have Isaiah creating everything. And I don't know if there's – Marcus Smart, I guess, is another guy that can create shots.
I tell you
but
what.
You got some stats? Numbers, big fella?
No. Marcus – here's the thing about Marcus, okay, and this, to me, it was the best part about the Milwaukee game for me personally. Marcus was just like, it was like watching a 6'4 power forward back in the day. Just, he was finding, I mean, the way he was rebounding the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's a part of the Celtics game that we really haven't seen them exploit. Using Marcus as a low post scoring threat. He's so damn, I mean, there were points where he was guarding Greg Monroe.
Right.
I mean, And wasn't but Ashley Sherrod, getting
hold
killed?
Hold up. Oh, I'm not going to get – I mean, Marcus
Danny Downer
great.
Is in the building, but, a.k.a. Kyle Draper. Let's
no,
hear.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Are you concerned about Marcus's shooting the last seven games?
Hell yeah.
Where he's 24%, 18% from three. How can he – should he temper his shot selection, I guess? Because he's impacting it in so many other ways, they don't need his scoring.
Don't you feel like in the middle of the season there, he did not shoot as much, and he was shooting like
right.
I feel
I
like,
so, yeah.
And then he got a little comfortable, and he actually showed some improvement,
right.
Shooting, and then he goes back to 1 for 9. You know, he needs to stay around 8 shots a game.
I like the fact that he was looking to score on a block against Milwaukee, whether it was cutting. Getting position and trying to, you know, bully ball guys.
Right.
I think for him, he has to do more of that so that when he's on the perimeter, guys are thinking, oh, crap, he's going to try to take me on a block.
Yeah.
So they're going to back off a little bit, and then he can just step into the shot. Marcus is – I think he's at his best shooting from the perimeter when he's catching and stepping into the shot, and defenses aren't really – on him. He's got to be a little bit smarter about that, no pun intended, about recognizing when defenses are just kind of saying – we're going to give you that shot, dude.
Right.
His hands are unbelievable.
Oh, like, my God.
Those rebounds last night underneath.
Those are big boy rebounds.
If he gets a finger on it, he's getting that ball.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, he grabbed some offensive rebounds.
Just that. They're just ripping the ball away from people.
Give me that,
I mean,
boy.
Like, his hands are.
Give me that.
Hey, we're going to ask Leon Poe about Marcus and the Celtics in a minute. But one quick question, Sherrod. Were you cool with Smart's final shot that – desperation three.
He didn't have a choice. I mean, once the ball.
Avery was wide open, big fella.
Dude, 3.9 seconds. Ball is inbounded. It's deflected. You're trying to get a shot off. Your focus isn't on, I wonder who's open. No, you don't have time to think about that. You are trying to make sure you, at the very least, get a shot off. I don't have a problem with the shot because I look at the time and place.
Yeah.
If it were like 8-9 seconds left on the shot clock and he chucked that, and then you look up after it goes out of bounds and there's like 4 seconds left. Yeah. We got a problem. But at that point, no.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You
know.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Danny Downer hitting the panic button. You all on the map today. It's playoff time, Drake. Let's go.
Hey, let's dial up our guy Leon Poe here.
Let's
on
get a
the
real
Celtics
champion
in
the building
podcast.
Here. Let's go.
All right, joining us now on the Celtics Talk podcast is 2008 NBA champion Leon Poe. Leon, thanks for joining us. Does it ever get old being called a champion? That's something you could take to your grave with you, my boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it don't get old. That's why you work so hard, man. You try to be a champion, man. If you can achieve that goal, more power to you. And our team did. And I love being called a champ, man. I love it. You don't never get old for me.
Now, a lot of guys on that championship squad had success, but they hadn't really been on teams where they were the hunted like you guys were that year. And, you know, the Celtics, even though they were in first place, now they're not technically. What is that like as a player knowing that night in, night out, you're going to be probably the biggest game on that team's schedule? You're going to be the team that they're looking to knock off, maybe a little bit more than most teams.
Oh, no, that's good. I remember when we was going through it, man, it's a great feeling. We know every team we go against, they want to play us. The opposing fans want us to fall. And then when we come home, our fans are there to support us at 1,000%. So it's a great feeling. It's something that you want. You want to take on that challenge as a player if you're a competitor, which is I was and am still now. So I can't say enough about that, man. All our guys love playing in that environment.
Leon, I was going to ask you about that because, to me, it takes a special person. Like, I don't know if everybody has that competitiveness. And I know your 08 team, you guys were full of dogs, bulldogs, and you guys enjoyed that. But do you think – every player has that in them, or does it take a special person to embrace being the hunted?
Nah, and that's why I said, why you think it, the same teams don't win it almost every year. It's a lot of different teams out there that doesn't have it. And the ones that do have it, you can see it. Like you can see the Warriors, you can see the Cavs. Our team is learning to get that down pat. And go from there. But you got to have it to be a champion, because you can fold under the pressure, under the bright lights, because sometimes it gets to you if you don't have it, because there's a lot of road fans, there's a lot of stuff they say on the road. Everybody come out rooting against you and want to see you fail, and it could hurt.
Leon, when you talk about that, you know, not everyone is built for that. I mean, I remember Rasheed Wallace used to tell me all the time that, you know what, you can play the game well, but when the lights come on, not everybody can play. What is it about this Celtics team that you're seeing that you look at them and see them, you know, one of the best records in the East? What is it about them that you think has made them capable of being able to kind of step up and play well for so many stretches this season?
Just going through their ups and downs. Same over the last few years. This team been going through ups and downs, but been steady, trying to gain ground within the Eastern Conference and within the league. And what they're doing this year is remarkable, because they had so many injuries. So many injuries that people don't take account for, but it was so many injuries, and Brad Stevenson's had to piece it together. And now they're learning how to win. They're learning how to play together better. And now they're learning how to reach that environment, which you got to prepare and you got to play in. They know they learning how to do that, and that's why they coming out on top right now, and they competing.
Number
one seed.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be number one or number two, Leon. But give me the real, though. Now, don't give me the, Celtics green teamer take, Leon. I know you're a community ambassador with the squad and everything. But what's the ceiling for this team, do you think?
What's the ceiling?
Yeah.
The real ceiling? I think the team can get to the conference championship game. I think they can do that. But like I tell everybody else, if we don't rebound, if we don't take care of the ball, everybody got to play, and our bigs got to come to play as well every single game. So in the playoffs, and you got to up your game to another level. They got to get another gear in the playoffs, which we haven't seen that happen yet. So they got to get another gear, and if they can kick in that other gear, I think they can get to the conference finals, and then anything can happen once you get to the conference finals. But you got to get another gear, got to kick it in another gear.
Leon, when you talk about kicking it into another gear, you did that. Game two, 15 minutes,
yep.
20 points.
Yep.
What is that?
Yep.
Like, as a player, I mean, you got your KG, you got your Paul, Rondo, Ray Allen, and then you got Leon Poe busting you for 20 and 15. What is that?
Oh, yeah.
What is that like as a player, having that type of impact?
Oh, no. As a player, it's a good feeling, but that's because you work hard for it, and you know what you're capable of doing. Like, I knew what I was capable of doing, especially when the lights came on. I always was a person that did never run from the lights. Ever since I was in high school, I was ranked amongst the top five players in my class and overall. And so when the lights came on, if you look at all my games when we were on ESPN, my family always told me this: when it's an ESPN game, TNT game, whatever, I come to play.
So you showed Rondo the way. You showed Rondo the way and how to be a big – okay.
Look, I come to play every time. Look at them stats on TNT. It's prime time. Prime time. I get it done. Sometimes it'd be ones when there's nobody in the stands. Them the games sometimes I have trouble with.
Yeah, we know how it is. Hey, I'd rather have it that way than the other way, I guess, because you wouldn't want a player, melting under the pressure. But Leon, when you look back at that 08 squad, give me some stories from that team. When did you guys know what you had going on there?
Well, first of all, we knew we had something going on because we got KG and Ray Allen.
I guess that helps. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, the previous year we didn't do so good, but we got them guys. So we knew we had a good chance of winning the whole thing, but we had to see about team chemistry. That's what we wanted to build. We wanted to see how we interact with each other and how we perform on the court. And what KG had brought to that team was amazing. That defensive mentality, that dog mentality that circulated through everybody. And that's what really carried us through. And we knew we had something during training camp. It started in training camp in Rome. And when we was out in Italy, when we was out there, We all bonded, but we competed. We competed hard. I'm talking about, man, nosebleeds, everything. We busted eyes, everything. We don't care. We was competing. But at the end of the day, we had each other's back, and we looked out for one another. And that's what being a team and being a championship team is basically all about. You help me, I help you. I get beat by my man. KG in the back end got me on that, and I go pick up his. Same for vice versa for everybody else down the line, 1 through 15. So that's what we did, and that's when we realized we had something.
And when you know, Leon, and you mentioned this a little while ago, you know, you're one of the more highly regarded players, you know, coming out of high school, Pac-10, freshman of the year. But you had some physical things going on, too, some injuries that you had to kind of work through, kind of come back from. When you got to the NBA, Leon, was there a greater sense of urgency for you to make an impact early, knowing that, you know, and you know this as well as anybody, tomorrow is not promised to anyone playing that game.
Yep. I tell everybody that tomorrow is not promised until you for me. I know best. And because my knee injuries and stuff that happened in the blink of the eye to me that I didn't even think that's possible or that was going to happen to me did. And I had to get up from that. And so when I got to the league, yeah, I had a sense of urgency. I said every time I step on that court, I want to show the world what I can do, but I want to make an impact for my team and for my team winning as well. Didn't know how much of an impact, but I knew every time I step on the court, I wanted to go at the other opposition so I could play well and so my team could play well and win as well. So that was my whole mentality. And I know everything can change in the blink of an eye, and I was a firsthand witness of that. But that was my mentality coming in, and I think that's what I did because I had a rule. When I got on the floor, if you don't make something happen in the first 2 minutes, you ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go sit down. I had my own rule. Me and my family had my own rule.
We need more Leon Poles on the floor, y'all.
I know, right? That's how you impact the game, dude. Come in and be ready.
You gotta be ready. Gotta be ready. I tell players all the time, yeah, it's hard to come off the bench and be ready, but you gotta be there focused. You gotta be acting like you're a starter every single game and prepare your mind and your body to go to battle. And that's what I did. And that's what people ask me, how you do it coming off the bench at a blink of an eye and can score points and can play and do all this stuff and then go sit down and you be cold, then go right and go in and still have the same impact. It's just your focus level. And plus, I've been through a lot coming up, growing up, and that really didn't faze me at all. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to make an impact, and I had my own rules.
Leon, you know, a couple more questions for you here. One, you know, I've been here for 8 years, and so I came sort of, you know, after the 08 championship, you know, I came here in 09. But I hear so many stories about KG, and some of them I don't know if I believe or not, Leon. You know, a time he slapped food out of somebody's hand in the locker room. Give me a KG story that maybe people wouldn't believe, but you swear that it's true.
Okay. That one, what you said, slap food out of people, he'd do some stuff like that. it wasn't to me, though, but he'd do some stuff like that. It wasn't to me, but he'd do some stuff like that. And then the other one is in the locker room, he liked it quiet before the game.
Yeah.
So he liked everybody focused. So I didn't mind that because that's how I was. I was like, I didn't want, you know, I wanted my own space. I like quiet, too, as well, where I could think and see what game plan I got to do and who I got to guard. Some people, not naming names, will try to get on the phone, will be walking around sometimes on the phone.
Wow.
And they learn very quickly, very quick. KG must have stood up, yelled at him, slapped it out of his hand, actually took it and threw it in the bathroom and told him, don't go get it. You go get it, it's a problem. Don't go get it.
What did that player do?
I said, you know what? That's I don't like that. You know, don't slap my phone out of my hand. No, that's my phone. You don't pay my bill. You welcome to pay my bill, KG. And if you do that, I'll be more than happy. And you can do what the hell you want to do with my phone. So the everybody did it in front of everybody. Pretty much got the message. No phones during game day, especially before the game.
I bet you a bunch of players hit that phone, hit it on vibrate real quick.
Yeah.
You shut this off. Power off.
Yeah, power off. Mom, I told you not to call me during the game.
Right, Mom, calling. Can't talk now, but KG's about to slap this phone. That's awesome, man.
That was just what I'm here to do that. And then one more is staffing them eating before the players. That's when the food here knock it out your hand. If it was staff, yeah. You know, the staff then that ACKG. You know how you like you see Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Or what's his name? Suge Knight back in the day. Right. Not Suge Knight back in the day in the club. You see him, you party, and you said, nah, I got to go the other way. So the staffers used to always come in there to try to get the food. But as soon as KG come out and sat down, and then make a 360 turn, like they was doing a double dutch dance or something, and go the other way. Because one of them tried to do that and got it knocked out his hand. And he cussed him out, too. You eating before the players? You eat a KG shirt, Mr. K. Shut up! You eating before the players? Hey, man, was so sick, man. I'm like, KG, man, why you do that to that dude, man?
Now, see, Leah, I'd be scared of that. I mean, but you're a teammate of his. Was it legitimate fear of that guy, or was he messing with him? Like, I mean, how do you reconcile that? You know, was KG just a mean dude, or I mean,
Nah, he wasn't a mean. Nah, he was a good dude. He wasn't a mean dude. I enjoyed his company every day. Yeah. I guard him. I try to guard match up with him in practice every time. We butted heads a lot of times, but he wasn't mean at all. He just liked some stuff his way, and I'd say, you know, the guy making a hundred and something million. I ain't got no time to argue with him. I just knew where to get in, where I fit in, you know? My money wasn't on that level. My money wasn't, I got to be, hey, I'm from Oakland. You know, we dreamers, we tough and everything, but I had to know where my money's good at. It wasn't good with him. I must roll with the punches.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Leon, speaking of Oakland, now, are you a Raiders fan?
Yeah, I like the Raiders.
How you feel about your crew bouncing to Vegas, man?
That's not good for the city of Oakland, man. The black hole out there. Everybody, been a diehard Raider fan, and I know my bruh, he wouldn't like that at all, neither. I know he's hot right now. He's pissed, But you know, I think the fans deserve more. They've been with them through thick and thin. All that losing and all that ineptitude of not winning games, and now they finally come to win games, and now you want to leave.
Right.
After they supported you through, after we supported you through all them ups and downs, a lot of downs. but you want to leave now, I think it's kind of selfish. But, you know, I know it's a business. And I understand that. I'm a businessman, so I understand that. Mm-hmm. And I see the field and stuff that they playing on a dirt field. That's not good. So I don't know what's the ruling and logistics behind that. But I'm pretty sure that probably has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Leon. You know I can't let you go without bringing up your boy Rondo and this little summer vacation he got for y'all from the 08 squad. Is Ray going to be there or what, man? Is Ray got to be there, man.
Look, I tell everybody, I don't care who, I tell it again. Ray need an invitation. I don't care who says he don't, Rondo, anybody, but he needs an invitation. If you're talking about the 08 team, you can't talk about it without Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. You can't have a celebration without Ray Allen. I don't know how you compartmentalize from that. Because without him, we wouldn't have won it.
Yep.
He was everything to our team, especially from that three-point position. Mm. And he did a little bit more, but we got to get over this pettiness, though. You know, I love all them guys. You know what I'm saying? Love all them guys, but we got to get over pettiness. We got a problem. You go see him face to face. That's what I would have did. If I got a problem with somebody, I'm gonna come to your doorstep. That's how we doing in Oakland. I don't know where everybody else from, but that's how we do it. You got a problem, we'll show up on your doorstep. We don't care, but that's what you're supposed to do and hash it out from there. Whatever happens from there, it happens. But
yeah,
you got to be able to talk through it, and it's not good holding grudges, because that don't help nobody. It just hurts you in the long run.
Yeah, and I got one last question for you, and this is going back to Oakland, because Oaktown is apparently where that's where it's at. Now, Marshawn Lynch was there in high school with you, right?
Yeah, that's my guy. Yep.
What's he gonna do, man? I mean, Beast Mode left the game just longing for more, man. You can't lead a game like that. Come on, he's still got juice in the tank.
I know Beast Mode can't stay away from the game, man. When he retired, I was like, man, what is Beast Mode doing? You know, right? Beast Mode being Beast Mode, you never know what you'll get from him, though. I'm telling you, one day he might wake up and do something you just not bad, but good. You wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. But he loved the game. I know that, man. He's been playing football all his life, man. He's a competitor, a tough competitor at that, and he's a very excellent, very very skilled player at the running back position, and smart as well. So I know he can't leave it for long. I heard his rumors might come back. I didn't call him to check in, because I know everybody called him to do that. I don't really care. I just want him to be happy. That's all, with his decision, whatever decision that is.
All right, my man Leon Poe.
Man,
Leon, thanks for coming on the Celtics Talk podcast, man. Anytime, man. I would love to have
prime
you anytime.
Prime time Poe.
Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, yeah. You know, I come over and bring some of this realness over here, man. You know, I speak the truth, man. We don't play around.
Ask me, I tell it. Exactly.
Ask me, and I tell it.
Leon Poe, the 2008 champion Boston Celtics, joining us. Thanks again, Leon.
Thanks, Leon.
All right, thank you.
Man, our dude Leon Poe.
Prime time Poe, bringing the goods.
Oaktown in the building, man. That was good stuff.
That was really good stuff. Really good stuff. Great, great reminiscing on that.
No doubt about it. You know, another guy who was on that 08 championship team, our own Brian Scalabrine. Mm-hmm. Yep, your guy, Scal. And he had a chance to sit down with Brad Stevens for a segment we're calling Stevens and Scal. They talk about the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. And Brad's thoughts on that. Here's that interview right now.
All right, Coach. I want to get into a little playoff talk, and I know how much you love playoff talk, you know. And feel free at any time to just throw any of these questions under the bus. Important that you get the number one seed.
Under the bus.
Under the bus.
No. I think, you always want to be the best seed you can be.
Okay.
But I think it's, you know, we've got to just play as well as we can and let the chips fall where they may. I'm not losing sleep over the standings. Our guys have done a great job throughout the regular season of being consistent, and that's why they're in the position they're in. Doesn't mean we've been perfect. Doesn't mean we haven't had a clunker or two here or there. But we've been pretty consistent. And so I think that that's the most important thing, and hopefully we can play well the rest of the way.
So, I mean, in your coaching career in the playoffs, have not won a road playoff game, but you've been, in some games, been really impressive in this building. So does that, like, sort of factor into it?
I think each year is different. I mean, you look at, obviously, the Cleveland year when we were in the playoffs, we were lucky to get in the playoffs. And then, you know, Cleveland didn't lose to anybody for 2 years until they played Toronto.
That's true.
I mean, they swept everybody through five series.
Yeah.
And I actually thought we played pretty well at times in that series, but not well enough to get over the hump. And then last year, I thought that Atlanta really did a good job, against us, especially at their place, and then closed us out here. But I thought the biggest thing with that series was just being, you know, we decreased our margin quite a bit by not being as good offensively as we needed to. And so, you know, hopefully we've gotten better at that over the course of time. Matchups are a big part of it. Each thing's a little bit different, you know, and hopefully we're fully available when that time comes to play well.
Now, when you started out this season, and I know I asked you this question before and you said no expectations at all. I don't want to put a ceiling on any of this, but, you know, I mean, to be even competing to have a number one seed in the East, I mean, that's a great accomplishment for you, the staff, as well as the players. How do you sort of, like, keep this thing moving in the right direction, yet still, like, wow, look at where we're at?
We do no different than when we were you know, 20 and 40 4 years ago. You come to work, you do your job as well as you can, you prepare film the same way, you walk through the same way, almost the monotony of trying to, you know, master something, right? And that's why it's, you know, that monotony can get old for people and can get boring for players, I think, at times. But I think the really great ones embrace it because they realize that there is a daily, you know, investment you have to make to be good. And so nothing changes for us. You know, I think that that's the bottom line. I learned that when I was at Butler, you know, we were winning big, right? You just had to focus on what's next. When I was here and we weren't, you just had to focus on what's next and do your job as well as you could. And, you know, it's been proven that that shouldn't change.
Can you sense when, like, maybe a couple guys let go of the rope a little bit, win seven games in a row? That's very natural.
Yeah. Human nature happens. Human nature happens. I think what we always talk about is trying to be consistent, because consistency is obviously the mark of a team that truly has a chance to play well when it all matters. And then I think the other thing that we really try to emphasize is just, again, do our jobs every single day. And so if we do have a game where we don't play as well, we're not going to flip out and try to redo the whole thing. If we have a game where we play over our heads, you know, I think we just have to come back to work the next day and get ready to play. And, you know, that's what you have to do in this league, because it's so hard. The teams are so good, and anybody's capable of beating anybody on a given night.
And down the stretch, you know, obviously teams that rest are getting ready for the playoffs. You know, is that one of your philosophies of, hey, you know, it's important to be healthy and rested, but it's also important to be playing well?
I think you have to have a clear mind and fresh legs. And I think there's a lot that goes into that, especially the clear mind part. Mm-hmm. Playing well is important, right? And at least, you know, tasting success with the group that's going to be out there is really important. We're still, as crazy as it sounds, still pretty infant in trying our starting lineup and, you know, our full rotation.
Yeah.
So, but it's been good when it's been available. My ultimate goal would be to enter the playoffs with a full, healthy roster and let the chips fall where they may and not get too caught up in seeding. But I think playing well is a big part of this.
Does it, you know, looking at LeBron in Cleveland, LeBron goes to the finals six straight years. I mean, the guy does deserve a little bit of rest. Does it change on the age of your players, where you're going, how many times you've been there, how many games you played over the last 3 years, or every day is a new day, every year is a new
each
year.
Each team has to decide that for themselves.
Yeah.
We've talked about it with us. A lot of our rest has happened naturally due to injuries.
Yeah.
And so in a weird way, we've been, you know, we'll benefit from that, because we've had, you know, Al Horford's missed 15 games. Avery Bradley missed almost 2 months. Isaiah's missed now 6, 7, 8 games. So, like, that's a little bit different than it has been in the past for us. And so, you know, hey, we get together and we talk about what guys need, but we want to make sure that, you know, we're not overdoing that and we're focused on playing good basketball.
Good stuff right there from Scal and Brad talking about the playoff hunt, that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Another guy we got to catch up with is Jay Crowder. He joined the Celtics post-up crew. Here's that interview right now.
Jay, you guys have been really good in this homestand, but moving forward, is your mindset already looking for the playoffs and getting yourself ready for the playoffs?
Not at all. I mean, we're taking it one game at a time here. The regular season, we got a few games left. We're just trying to tune a lot of things up that we want to do heading into the playoffs. But we got to take it one game at a time, and we're using each one of these games as a playoff type mindset of execution and down the stretch. And if it be a close game, doing what we got to do to pull out the win. So we're just taking it one game at a time, not looking ahead to the playoffs at all.
Jay, Brad said before last night's game that us in the media keep reminding you guys about the seedings, whether you're a one seed or a two seed. Does it matter to you, and how important is that one seed to you personally?
Personally, man, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to be honest with you, because you don't get a banner. You don't hang a banner up for a one seed, you know, but your chances are high to advance. But at the same time, Either way it goes, once we get in the playoffs, we're fighting for one thing, and that's the championship. So the seeding doesn't really matter as much to me as you guys make a big deal out of it.
Jay, a lot of the talk today in the playoffs, who's going to step up when teams are doubling, triple-teaming Isaiah Thomas? Is that a challenge that you're taking upon yourself to become that number two guy?
I can't really say that I'm taking on that challenge. I play within myself. I play within our offense. Isaiah gets a lot of play calls. So whenever he's not able to come down the stretch and make a bucket for us, we got to play through him and play off of him. So whether it be me one night, whether it be Al Horford one night, whether it be Avery Bradley one night, I think all three of us have to be ready to take on that role. But we have to be ready to contribute on both ends of the court. We're aware of that. But I just feel like whatever the game is going to tell us what to do, and the game is going to tell us who's that second option going to be as the playoffs comes.
Jay, if you look at some of your stats, from the rebounding to the three-point shooting, free throws, I mean, just overall, do you feel like you're playing the best basketball of your career?
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm for sure playing the highest level of basketball I've played in my whole career right now. I feel good. I'm just trying to finish the season as healthy as possible to head into the postseason, but physically, I feel good, and I'm shooting the ball like I want to. I just feel I got to keep being aggressive and taking what the defense gives me.
Jay, one thing I noticed, you know, watching you play is your confidence out there, whether it's, you know, going against LeBron or going against some of the best players in the league. Was that confidence always there? And how does that change, I guess, when you're in Dallas, maybe not getting the minutes that you want versus now when you're, you know, a starter on, you know, a top team in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, the confidence for sure swayed a little bit when I was in Dallas, of course, because limited playing time. But as I got to play the game and play and see what I can do out there on the court on a nightly basis, of course my confidence began to grow. And I think the work that I put in when no one else is around has really helped me have the confidence I need to have on the court on a night in, night out basis. So I just think opportunity was a big key factor in that, as well as me being in the gym and staying ready.
No question, you've made the most of it, Jay, but we want to have a little fun with you here. We looked up, you have a number of nicknames according to Basketball Reference. What's one that you actually like or go by?
I like Boss Man 99 yes. or something like yeah. that.
That's it's what all over your
I wear those
media.
Wristbands and stuff at night.
There's one yeah. that our social media crew here is trying to get started, and that is Slam Crowder. Offering defensive versatility.
I like that, dude.
I'm trying to get the poet started for Jalen. Slam Crowder.
New
England Slam Crowder around here. Defensive versatility in every bite, right? One through five.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Jay? You like that one?
That's pretty catchy as well, you know, especially being here in Boston.
I mean, Gronk has his own cereal.
I like how it ties in.
Yeah, Gronk has his own cereal. You can get your own soup, right? Brady has.
So I can
boots.
Take my own soup. Yeah, I'll take that.
That's a marketing thing. Sure. They'll hook them up with Campbell's or something like that. You know, Jay, I got to ask you about
like
your Jesus shirts and everything that you wear. Tell me about that. How'd that come about? And what does your family think of that?
Well, it was from a fan, I guess. Brought the idea to me and said he wanted to make me some shirts, and it said Jesus. So. I know it touched a lot of people a lot of different ways. It touched my mom a lot of different ways, you know. Saying, she was like, I hope you're not comparing yourself to the one and only. I'm like, nah, I didn't make up this. I just wear it. But it is a little fine line between that. But I made sure when everyone asked me about it, you know, I'm a firm believer in the man above. So I would never do anything like that. But it was all in fun and games with a fan making a shirt for me.
Jay, last year going into the playoffs, you had that sprained ankle. You know, are you encouraged that you're, you know, healthy moving into, you know, that the playoffs? I don't want to keep looking ahead, but are you happy that you're healthy moving into the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I don't want to jinx myself. We got a few more games left, so, you know. But, yeah, I do feel encouraged to go into the playoffs as healthy as I am right now. I'm able to drive the ball like I want to. I'm able to get enough lift off my shot to be effective on the court. So I'm able to move laterally. I think last year I was hindered in that area a little bit, and it really just messed with me a little bit. But it's a part of the game, and right now I feel pretty good, and hopefully I can finish these last few regular season games off healthy and then go into the playoffs healthy.
Jay, keep it real for me. You know, this team is made up a bunch of guys with a bunch of guys that have a lot to prove. There's always that talk that maybe the Celtics aren't getting enough respect. Here you are tied with the Cavs, virtually atop the Eastern Conference standings. Do you like being overlooked a little bit, maybe being underappreciated as a team? Is that something you guys embraced?
Yeah, I feel like we had a lot of underdogs and a lot of guys who flew under the radar a little bit. So I think we embraced that role. I know me personally, I embrace it because that's what I've been about my whole life. I've been an underdog in every situation, and I've overcame it. So I'm comfortable in that role, and that's what inspires me to keep going and keep working and keep putting in the work that when no one else is around. So I think this team adapts to it as well. And like you can see, like we don't want to talk about the number one seed, as you guys can see in the past few days or so. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to really be a part of it. We just want to play. And whatever the seeding is, it's going to be what it is. But we feel like that we play better as an underdog. And we adapt to it. And it makes us work. It makes us more hungry. It makes guys be on the court and play with a chip on their shoulder and not lose that. So we adapt to that.
And, Jay, I know you guys are taking it one game at a time, but – you clinched the playoffs a week ago. This team just has gotten better every year, from going just happy to be into the playoffs to last season trying to get through that first round. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious how different it is inside that locker room and just the mentality now that you guys know that you are in the playoffs, are battling for a number one seed, and really expect to get out of that first round.
Yeah, I think that really has clicked with us. We went from happy to be in to now we're trying to play as long as possible. I think that's the mentality that we have right now. That's what I see has changed within our locker room, is really guys really believing we can get it done. And it's just all about us being together and sticking together and doing what we got to do. But that's the mentality has really clicked in our locker room that we feel like we really can win.
Well, we are certainly looking forward to it. Jesus. Boss man.
New England Slam Crowder.
Yeah, I got a few. Bay Crowder. Got Bay Crowder. Some people call me Bay Crowder.
Jay, I'm telling you, I will never call you Bay Crowder, though, bro. I will never call you that. I'm sorry. I'm never doing that.
To be honest with you, I got some of the most man crushes you'll ever see, man. I got a lot of man crushes when I walk the streets of Boston.
It's all good.
Oh, you're making Scal jealous. Jay, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time. Aw, everybody loves a good man.
White mama, his white mama is white mama.
I know. White mama is one of the best.
Sherrod, tons of good stuff this week, man, on the Celtics Talk podcast.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a playoff podcast, right there. That's what I'm talking about.
Just getting you ready for the postseason. Man. Next time we're coming at you, the Celtics will have faced Orlando, the Knicks, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, Sherrod. That might be the game that decides one versus two.
That's what you want. You want to have meaningful games this time when you're going into the playoffs. And the Celtics, that's certainly going to be that type of game, no question.
Yeah, so make sure you tune in next week as well. You can always check us out at csnne.com and on all the podcasting apps out there, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher. Make sure you leave a rating and review. We want to hear from you guys. Follow Sherrod on Twitter, SherrodBCSN. I'm Kyle Draper TV. And don't forget, starting Monday, it's a whole new lineup here at CSN, beginning at 6 o'clock with Arbella Early Edition from 6 to 8. Tangway, Trenny, Michael Felger, and the crew, they'll be discussing the hottest sports topics in Boston that day. And then from 9 to midnight at night, it is Town Fair Tire Boston Sports Tonight. Some of the hottest takes you'll see right here on CSN. For Asia Rod Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. We'll see you next time on the Celtics Talk Podcast.
We out!
We'll also hear from Brad Stevens, who sits down with I was going to say Brad Scalabrine. I know, I was totally going to mess up.
Brian Stevens.
That's
like a wrestling intro.
Brad
Let's get
Stevens.
Ready to rumble.
Like Stephen A.
LeBron James.
Hey, make sure you cut that out.
That's all going in there.
Right. All right.